Representative Kurt Wright, who actually I was just bragging that I may be the person responsible for, you know, baiting you into politics. When you were down at Kerry's Quick Stop, you used to call my show all the time, and I said, you know, Kurt, why don't you stop complaining and why don't you get involved?
Hey, you want to take the blame for it, Mark? Go right ahead. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would like to assess blame somewhere for that.
Now, you've been working on this issue of trying to ban teachers' strikes. I know you've been working on this for years. You came very close this week. Go back here. What's your rationale in wanting to ban teachers' strikes? Because some people don't think it's really an issue.
Well, I think more people do, though. I know there are some people that don't, but I think the vast majority of residents, citizens, think, and even if they haven't had a strike, think that we shouldn't have teacher strikes. They're extremely disruptive. I had a guy actually stop in his car on my way here today when I was finishing walking my dog before getting here and say, you know, great job, teacher. We should not have teacher strikes. Because I think most people recognize that they are disruptive, they're divisive, they create animosity and scars that take a long time to heal when one happens in a community. We saw what happened in Colchester. I read some of the headlines on the House floor from Colchester, and you can plug in those same headlines for whenever any strike happens, whether it was Bennington a few years later or the one in South Burlington. But beyond the strikes, Mark, even when a strike gets close to happening, 3 years before the South Burlington strike happened, there was one that got close. There were charges of unfair labor practices. The union threatened to picket the school board chair's business.
Right.
It was ugly.
Right.
And then there's always the threat of the strike in negotiations. So it is something, a practice that we need to end. Very few states have it anymore. I think 37 or 38 states don't allow strikes. And the other part of it was I took binding arbitration out of the bill. I always had binding arbitration in because I believe that was you had to have that finality in there. What happened, though, when I had binding arbitration in was that I lost the School Boards Association, the superintendents, Vermont League of Cities and Towns, who didn't want these outside arbitrators making decisions for locals.
Mm-hmm.
The union would be the one that was supposedly in my camp, but they would then come and testify and say, well, if we got binding arbitration, we'd consider giving up strikes. But, oh, by the way, it'd have to be just the way we want it. And we don't really need to make any changes. Status quo works just fine. So that certainly left me with nowhere.
Hmm.
So I went back to the other
one
side.
One last man standing. No? Okay.
I went back to the other side, the school boards, superintendents, and talked to them and then started looking a little further into it and found out something I didn't realize, is which is that all the states that don't allow strikes, only one has binding arbitration, and that's Connecticut. And the states around us, we took testimony from New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and they told us how really, with the system they have, it's worked really pretty well. New Hampshire, actually the union official got on with us, and this surprised me because I was worried what he was going to say. He said, everybody negotiates seriously, the contracts seem to get settled in a pretty timely manner, and it's basically worked pretty well. So I want to make clear, and I said this on the floor, this is... We all have great respect for teachers. They have one of the most important jobs that there is, educating our kids, educating the kids of Vermont. And I believe in the collective bargaining process. This is not about taking rights out of the collective bargaining process. It's fair. We took away the right to impose contracts from the school board.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't take away strikes without doing that. So every other collective bargaining piece that's in law now is still in place. This is not like Wisconsin. Wisconsin, they actually took the right to bargain about certain aspects in their law out of place in Wisconsin. We don't do that. We say we're eliminating strikes, we're eliminating imposition of finality from the school board.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this did fail, as I mentioned. Did you feel, or were you surprised that it was as close as it was? Did you think you were going to get as much support as you did?
I had been talking to a lot of Democrats. I knew we had all the independents, or five independents, I should say, five out of the six independents, and we had virtually every Republican. So I felt that if people weren't pressured out of their votes, the Democrats particularly that I talked to, that we were around 70 and there were a few undecided ones. So I thought we were within three votes one way or the other. Now, there were other people that were stopping me in the hallway saying, your bill's dead, we've got the word, you're done. You know that, and someone predicted on the floor to me, actually it was Patty Comline, that said, I think we're going to lose by 25 to 30 votes.
Wow.
She thought that it had turned, that they turned people around. So, first, I'm gratified that we got it out of committee for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
that we got it to the House floor, through another committee despite a negative vote, and had the debate. But is it frustrating to have gotten within one vote and know that there were a couple people missing, you know, because of illness? And I can't complain about that, but they made it in the next day with the illness, and which was frustrating because, you know, the day, and I know that was, they had great intentions. And then there was a Republican actually that wanted to switch his vote the second day, and I wish he would have come to that conclusion the first day.
So were these illnesses, and I'm putting up my fingers in quotation marks here?
They were real illnesses. Chuck Pierce, for example, has pneumonia. And I give him kudos for coming in the next day when he thought it still might make a difference. It didn't, because we didn't have the votes for reconsideration. Patty Connolly changed her vote so that we could have the possibility of reconsideration the next day. But I knew that it was a lot to ask for 16 courageous Democrats who stuck their neck out a little bit to then go out and go against the party on reconsideration the next day. I thought that was a little too much to expect. And so I actually urged leadership to not ask for reconsideration.
Do you think you'd ever get a strike ban in effect in a democratically controlled legislature?
Yes, because we got so close. I mean, I actually think that if you add in the three members, we had 74 votes if people were here. And then I heard there was another Democrat who wasn't there actually that told me they were going to vote for it. So we're talking really 75 plus. A lot of pressure was put on people who I think really kind of wanted to vote yes, but ultimately couldn't. So to get that close and know that really there was an opportunity to pass it through the full House, we have a governor who has said he wants to sign a bill to limit ban strikes.
He's in support of it,
and I met with him and wanted to get, I'd like to have seen more activity there. But in the Senate, I don't know. I'm not going to try to predict that they're going to pull this out of the rabbit out of the hat here, but there are senators that are talking about possibly putting, I want to talk to them and see if they're talking about the same bill that we had, which I would hope. I would love if they actually decided to go back and revive the Lalonde Wright Amendment.
Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Art.
Representative Kurt Wright, Republican from Burlington, talking about the proposal he had to ban school strikes. A moment of your time for our friends at Shore Acres Inn and Restaurant in the beautiful Lake Champlain Islands. If you're looking for a nice way to spend the evening, Shore Acres is open on Friday and Saturday nights for dinner here during the early season. Give them a call if you want to make reservations for later in the summer for a fabulous week off, perhaps, up in the Champlain Islands. Maybe have friends and relatives coming to town. It really is the place to send your friends and relatives. 372-8722, the phone number. 372-8722, Shore Acres Inn and Restaurant in beautiful North Era, Vermont. Just a short drive, but another world away. We'll take a quick break. Governor Shumlin joining us coming up next.
We are high performance, low pressure. Stop dreaming and start driving. Walker Volkswagen Stop Dreaming, Start Driving sales event. Stop dreaming about European-style Volkswagen Golfs, Jettas, and Passats. Stop dreaming about affordable German-engineered Tiguans, Beetles, and Sport Wagons, and start driving. Walker Volkswagen will make your dreams come true with 0% financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 customer bonus cash on Jetta and Passat TDI, delivering over 45 miles per gallon. Walker Volkswagen will make your dreams come true on the popular and versatile Sport Wagon. Over 20 in stock, each on sale, and discounted $4,000 off from MSRP. Buying a Volkswagen is easy. With Walker's deeply discounted upfront pricing, you eliminate all the gimmicks and stressful negotiations in buying your next car. We are Walker Volkswagen on the Berrymont-Pillar Road, Vermont's source for everything Volkswagen. Stop by, call, or click walkervt.com and join in the Walker Volkswagen Stop Dreaming, Start Driving sales event.
In times past, spring on a Vermont farm was celebrated with a visit to a sugar house, a place to gather with family, friends, and kids of all ages to enjoy a very important tradition, a sugar on snow party. At Bragg Farm Sugar House, we invite you to our spring celebration of sugar on snow. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all through the maple season, serving times 12 to 5. Enjoy our maple syrup boiled just right, dill pickles, raised donuts, and a beverage. And we know how to make the snow just right, too. No boots or snowshoes needed. You'll see the steam from our sugar house rolling right down Route 14 North, just 1 mile from Dudley's Country Store in East Montpelier, or 5 miles from Barrie or Montpelier. And remember, when it comes to maple creamies at Bragg Farm, you've just got to have one.
RB Technologies on Route 14 East Montpelier has been creating and supporting thoughtfully designed, custom-crafted computer networks for their clients since 1997. Here's Peter Timponi from the Vermont College of Fine Arts.
Ruben and all of his crew have been working with us over the last 2.5 years. We recently had some electrical damage in the building, which took down the entire network, and they were in helping us the next day. It was a real, real pleasure working with them. It helped us out a ton. Here at Vermont College, we're a small operation. Our IT department, we only have 2 people, so it's often hard sometimes to find the right bit of knowledge that we might need. So I have actually called Ruben before and spoke with them about, you know, things that I'm trying to do, things that I'm trying to accomplish, and they've been very helpful in guiding us along the way. Friendly, courteous, knowledgeable are the first 3 words that come to my head when I think about Ruben and everyone there, and they're a great, great crew.
RB Technologies cares about their customers. Call them at 223-4448 or online at rbtechvt.com. RB Technologies, efficiency through technology.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op because of its consistency, delivery of quality service and product, and in service to the community. My name is Jolynn Osler. I'm a resident of Waterbury, Vermont, and I've been a member of Hunger Mountain.